Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Dawn B., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Southern California. Today's Wednesday, May 10th, 2023, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book, and we're on page 80, the third paragraph. He felt that he had done a wrong, ending Make a Public Statement Exonerating His Rival. We're going to be reading and commenting on that one paragraph today. Today's readers are the 12 Steps, Karen K., Z., 12 Traditions, Christy B., Reader of the Text will be Robin P., Kara L., and Penny L.C. The reference number for Tuesday, May 9th, 10 a.m. Eastern Time, is 20,240. That's 20240. And for this morning, Wednesday, May 10th, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, the reference number is 20,248. That's 20248. Our newcomer greeter this morning is Carla C., and Shelley E. will do the announcements. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. I will now ask Karen KZ to read the 12 steps of OA. Press star one, Karen.
This is Karen KZ in Missouri, and here are the steps. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly ask Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for the knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for allowing me to be of service, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Karen KZ. I will now ask Christy B. to read the 12 traditions of OA.
Hello, this is Christy B., recovering in Washington State. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Our personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA, as such, ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, film, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for allowing me to do service.
Thank you so much, Christy B. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book, and we're on page 80, the third paragraph. He felt that he had done a wrong, ending, make a public statement exonerating his rival. Reading and commenting today on that one paragraph only. I will now ask Robin P. to begin reading for us.
Thank you. Thanks so much, Dawn. Thank you for your service. My name's Robin P., and I'm a very, very grateful recovered compulsive overeater in Costa Rica. He felt that he had done a wrong he could not possibly make right. If he opened the old affair, he was afraid it would destroy the reputation of his partner, disgrace his family, and take away his means of livelihood. What right had he to involve those dependent upon him? How could he possibly make a public statement exonerating his rival? Oh my gosh. You know, thank you, God, that I haven't had to do something like that. I'm very grateful. But I also, oof. It's, wow, that if you read ahead, it all works out really well because he did the right thing and he, you know, turned his will and his life over to the care of God. And he prayed only for knowledge of his will and the power to carry that out. He lived the steps and there was a happy ending. And sometimes it takes a little time for that to process, you know, and progress. And I'm sure it may be, you know, for a week I can imagine that for a little bit of time, there's a lot of gossiping going on about, oh, were you at church? You know, and I can just imagine how painful and hard, and it was hard for a while. And then people just were grateful. And then I believe that there was more trust and his integrity really paid off. And that's what happens when you do the right thing with God and work the steps. And my experience of the ninth step is that every single time I was nervous and it always worked out well. Thank you, God. And it always, you know, I came from a lot of child abuse and it was one of those, can you survive this childhoods? And repeatedly. And, you know, I have friends. I'm very good, close with my parents today. And that is completely the steps. Because I would be in victimhood otherwise. And I would never have had a chance to know them as an adult and to have a relationship with them. And that's all due to these rooms and this program. And, you know, I think of every time I have a decision to make, you know, what's the right thing? How can I be of service to God and my fellows? I'm so blessed. I'm looking over the ocean right now at this beautiful ocean and the mountains on the other side. And, you know, we have a beautiful house and, you know, all these gifts from God that, you know, just, I would have sabotaged all of this and hid in the food and before I got recovered 7 years ago. And it's such a miracle to be, you know, literally heaven on earth. Just so much grace. And so I just get to keep turning my will and my life over to the care of God. And I keep praying only for knowledge of his will and the power to carry that out and work these steps in all my affairs. I'm about to go through the 12 steps about these two rescue dogs who adopted us a year ago and see what the best solution is for them when we're in the States. So I can work the steps on anything if I can work them on that. So God bless everybody with a really blessed abstinence day. Thank you. I pass.
Thank you so much, Robin P., for getting us started. I will now going to take the names of people who would like to share on this paragraph. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So who would like to share with us this morning?
Shanna C.
Shanna C.
Roz G.
Roz G.
Kara L.
Kara L. Okay, let's start with that lineup. We have Shanna C., Roz G., and Kara L. Shanna C., please get us started and let us know where you're calling from if you'd like.
Good morning. This is Shanna C. from East Tennessee, grateful recovered compulsive overeater through God's grace and this program and the help of my fellows. Amends are such the backbone for me for my own recovery and where I've absolutely seen the reality of the God of my understanding at work in my own life. And I don't mean that to be dramatic or in a way to display frothy emotional appeal or sell anybody anything. It is the fact of my experience. Because everything I think I know about how things will turn out gets turned on its head when I'm putting my faith in a power greater than me. Because earlier in the chapter said 9 times out of 10, the unexpected happens, you know, and that has been true for me. Think amends that I think that are going to go so easy end up being difficult, you know, often, not always, and amends that I think are going to be so difficult end up being, I mean, just unbelievably different, not bad or good, just different. All of them are. And anyway, one of the things that really jumps out at me here is the fact that, you know, he felt the feelings aren't fact. Felt that he had done a wrong he could not possibly make right, you know, and all of the ideas and stuff of what could or would happen, you know, all of the fear. But just in the previous paragraph, you know, previous paragraphs talks about securing consent, obtaining permission, consulted with others, asked God to help, and the drastic step is indicated we must not shrink. And later on in this paragraph, he's explaining in his head why he shouldn't take that action. And then as we read on a little bit later, it talks about how he actually does those very things, makes that amend, and things turn out different. The point is he follows the directions in this book. He asked for help. He asked God to lead. And he was willing to do whatever it took to make that amend, and was trusting the God of his understanding with the result. And I've had that happen in my own experience. I mean, so many, 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 many times. And I'm so grateful. And it's not me that's doing the damage. I'm showing up, following the direction. And it's God that's making those wrongs right. And I get to be a part of what God is doing, the reparation God is doing. God doing for me what I could not do for myself. Thanks, that's all I have. And thanks so much for everyone for being here. And I'm so grateful for this way of life. That's it.
Thank you so much, Shanna C. Roz G., please share with us.
Thank you very much for your service of leading this meeting. My name is Roz, and I'm a compulsive overeater in Palmdale, California, and I'm out watering my garden, so you may hear a little background noise and wind. And what I was thinking was that this 12 steps taught me
that the root of my disease is selfish and self-centeredness. And in order to pluck that root and to grow a healthy, beautiful sunflower or rose, I have to become a person that's selfless and God-centered. And, you know, making amends, you know, can be a process of me wanting to feel better about myself. And in this paragraph, it talks about how we have to watch out for the amends we have to make it because we could harm someone. And, you know, in my 20s and when I was a foolish young woman who was completely out of control in many areas of my life, you know, I was a cheat. And I would never call the other person and tell them of the affair that I had. You know, that hurt their feelings. And, you know, we all know that. It makes sense. But the bottom line is that is self-centered pride. You know, even making amends can be self-centered pride. So as it is said, that when a drastic measure must be taken, we need to, secure the consent of another person who is unemotionally involved to see whether the action is appropriate or not. And so today, I don't cheat. You know, I don't entertain the thought of flirting with a person who is not available or going through a divorce. I have an ideal for my relationships, for sex life. I have healthy ideals for those that have come from meditation, prayer, and asking God what the right thing to do is. So today I make a lot of, you know, I just live a holy life, and I don't mean I'm holier than thou, but, you know, holy meaning set apart, asking God what's the right thing to do here. And believe me, I make a lot of mistakes. I'm nowhere near holy, but I strive to live a life that's godly and God-centered and other-centered, keeping others' happiness uppermost in mind.
Time.
And with that, I pass. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Roz G. Kara L., please share with us, and then I'll be opening up the line to take more names. In case you're just joining us, we are on page 80, the third paragraph. He felt that he had done a wrong, ending make a public statement exonerating his rival. We're sharing on that one paragraph today. Kara L., please share with us.
Good morning. This is Kara L., recovered compulsive overeater from Long Beach, California. Thank you for everybody doing service in the meeting today, and welcome to all the newcomers and fellows. What I love about this paragraph is this is my brain. This is my brain when I'm trying to figure something out on my own. Because in the next paragraph, I'm going to say he actually gets out of his own brain. But here, I see myself. These are the things I do. I endlessly worry about things. I try to get the perfect solution. I'm like, well, if I do this, then they'll do that. You know, and that's how I know I'm in self. And then I need to stop and I need to get outside counsel that's not my own brain. I need to say, God, please give me intuitive thought, inspiration, or decision. I need to ask a sponsor, ask somebody who's one of my fellows who I exchange inventories with and knows me well. I need to get out, because if not, I'm left with all of these questionings. Well, if I do that, then this. If I do that, then this. You know, and I am complex. My brain is manipulative. For me, my higher power is simple. When I slow down my brain and I say, please give me an intuitive thought, inspiration, or decision. When I slow my roll on how I think I need to act, and I step back, and I let my higher power in. And how do I do that? Well, I have to do it through these steps. I have to, sometimes it requires an inventory. Sometimes it requires a step 5 to read that inventory out and then get feedback from another individual. Sometimes it requires prayer and meditation so I can connect. Sometimes it requires just stopping. I am a boulder. God is not. I am the one that pushes through, whereas God is like a river and flows for me. When I stop, I do the work, and I relax and let my higher power in, then all those questions that I'm asking, the answers are simple. I'm very grateful and thankful for that today, and with that I pass.
Thank you so much, Kara L. Lovely. All right. Well, I'm now going to take the names of people who would like to share in this paragraph. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So who would like to share with us?
Bruce E.
Bruce E. And okay, hold on here. Bruce E.
Elaine G.
Okay, hold on just a second. Thank you. And Elaine G.
Larry G.
And Larry G. Very Jody. Good. Jody E. Thank you so much.
Betsy O.
Betsy O. Or was that Bessie O?
Bessie O.
Bessie O. Okay. All right. And anyone else? Okay, let's go with that lineup. I have Bruce E., Larry G., Elaine G., Jody E., and Betsy O. Bruce E., please go ahead and get us started, please.
Yeah, good morning. This is Bruce E. I'm recovered. I'm in Fort Myers, Florida. Thank you. He felt he had done a wrong he could not possibly make right. Well, I guess a lot of the ones I've done, the amends I've done, I felt pretty much that way. I'd done it wrong, couldn't possibly make it right. But, you know, it's the only way to make it right, right? I mean, how else am I going to make it right without going to the person and admitting my mistakes and telling them about it, doing amends, and then not doing that again? So that's about what it comes down to. Now, he goes on to explain a number of reasons why he shouldn't be doing this. Destroy the reputation, you know, disgrace his family, take away his means of livelihood. What right had he to involve those dependent upon him? There's a lot of reasons not to do an amends, but there's only one reason to do it. The main reason is I don't go back to eating anymore. I don't go back to getting, you know, knocking myself out with the food anymore. That's the main reason. And then it's just the right thing to do, you know. And it ends up really doing well because all the amends I've done, my dad, my mom, my brother, you know, others that were, you know, that I've harmed over the years, you know, it just made things right with all those people. It was really the right thing to do. So I was on the phone this morning, on a phone call, 12-step call with another fellowship, and something came up to where the guy said, the chair of it said, we're going to limit the amount of time that people can share down to a minute and a half if we get too many people on the call. And a number of people came up and said that you can't do that because there's a group conscience that says these are two-minute shares. And they had already made that clear to them. But then I jumped in and said, yeah, that's true. It is a group conscience. You're not to do, can't, you know, we have to go with two-minute shares. And I didn't need to do that. And I immediately, because it had already been said, I immediately lost my serenity. And then I thought about it for a minute, and I thought, well, why did I do that? I did that because of fear. I was worried that I wouldn't be able to share 2 minutes. You know, it'd go down to 1.5. So that's fear. And then I wanted to control the person because I didn't particularly like the guy that was sharing it. So I said, I said that. Well, I had to come back and do an amends right away on that one. So for being controlling and interrupting. So that's it. Thank you for letting me share. I pass.
Thank you so much, Bruce E. Larry G., please share with us, followed by Elaine G.
Good morning, Larry G. from California. This story really is really raises the hair on the back of my neck, and it's proof to me on why making amends doesn't take me off the hook. You know, we glorify this person and all the effort he's gone through, the process he's gone through before making amends, standing up in his fellow at the church and declaring that he was responsible for the harm he did to this businessman and his family. But, you know, we don't know how long that man suffered, like from the time that he was discredited to the time the amends was made. That family suffered greatly. I mean, if that happened today with social media, you know, his life would be toast. So this is why, for me, just because I make an amends doesn't take me off the hook. There's some people in my life that I'm in continuing contact with that I did harm to, like my children. I was a good parent, but I was a recovering alcoholic, and I used to go to meetings, you know, and said, well, my children never had to see me drink, which is true. They didn't. I got sober in 81. But I suffered from alcoholism, and my former wife suffered from untreated Al-Anon, and we did do damage. There was collateral damage, though. My daughter today goes to therapy, and I pay for it from time to time. And my oldest daughter, the way I make amends to her is by showing up and being a great grandparent to my grandchildren. This is why I believe, for me, I have an unforgivable loan. God has given me a gift of sobriety and abstinence that is beyond my comprehension. And the unforgivable loan means that I have to repay this debt the rest of my life. And for me to say that, well, I never did anything like this, right? That just diminishes the pain that other people suffered because of my alcoholism. Now, God has forgiven me. And I have forgiven myself, but today I make ongoing amends to people I love that I harmed in the past. And thank God for sobriety that I can see that. Thank God for a clear mind, a recovered mind that I can see that. And that I have the tools to do that today. I have the tools to do that. And when I'm wrong, you know, there's a 10th step we're going to get to, and we'll talk about the 10th step. This program is just amazing. And what the ninth step has done for me beyond just clearing up the wreckage of my past is that it has taught me to be compassionate, because anytime I point the finger at someone else, I have four pointing back to me. And when I do my ninth step and I do my 10th step, I become soft. My heart softens up, and I realize that I'm no different from that person. And I can see that person in a different light. Anyway, so I pass. That's all I have today, and I wish everybody a great sober day. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Larry G. Elaine G., please share with us, followed by Jody E.
Yeah, this is Elaine. Elaine G. from New York. I've been carrying around this wrong I did since yesterday, and even when I did it, I knew I was wrong. But, like, I had to return this... I don't know, this milk, I got the wrong milk. But meanwhile, I got into another store because I didn't like the fruit in that store. And I said, I don't have any time to go back to the other store. So I got the right milk at the other store that I usually go to. And the milk that I had to go return to the other store, I just put it on the shelf of the store where I got the milks. I knew that was wrong, you know. But, you know, I said I was in a hurry. I had to get home, this and that. So I say to myself, oh, God, what kind of amends can I make here? If I tell the guy what happened, they might even put me in jail here for this one, you know. And, you know, that didn't even bring it back to the right store, you know. So anyway, as I was saying, I didn't know what kind of amends I could make, but I'm sharing about it, and that's it.
Thank you so much, Elaine G. from New York. Jody E., please share with us, followed by Betsy O. And just a quick reminder for people, we are on page 80, the third paragraph. He felt that he had done a wrong, ending make a public statement exonerating his rival. We're talking on that one paragraph today. So Jody E., please share with us.
Thank you, Dawn. Good morning, everyone. This is Jody E., gratefully recovered in California. He felt he had done a wrong he could not possibly make right. I felt that way at one time about my former husband. I felt that I had hurt him in a way that I couldn't make right. But actually, despite the fact that he doesn't want me to make an amends to him, and I haven't, at least not for many years, our relationship is really good today. There's something very interesting happening. We have a daughter, and we live close to each other, so we're still in each other's lives. And it just seems like our relationship is deepening and growing, and we care, even though we're not living together and he has a new partner. There's something precious about it. He gave me a Mother's Day card last weekend because he went away and I'm taking care of his yard while he's gone. And it says, you will always be the mother in the family. Happy Mother's Day. I'm so glad you're still in my life. And that's how I feel about him. So though I did things that were shameful, regretful in our marriage, and he didn't know explicitly what I did, but he knew on some level. He has forgiven me. I have forgiven myself. And we're friends. And we care deeply about each other. So there is always a way, I think, to make matters right with God. If we take it to God, if we are willing to do the right thing, whatever that may be, and which we discern by praying, talking to people that we feel can help us, consulting with people, there is always a way to make it right, I believe. So with that, I will pass.
Thank you so much, Jody E. Betsy O., please share with us, and then I'll be opening up the line to take some more names.
Hi, thank you for your lead. It's Bessie with two S's, O, from Colorado. What I hear in this is, it takes me back to either, you know, because we've taken step two, either God is everything or God is nothing. And when I read, you know, with the thought process here, I can so relate to it because this is the kind of thinking that precedes, in my experience, a really big breakthrough or like, and not breakthrough like killing it, you know, breakthrough like freedom, you know, and whether it is, you know, there's all this like, but if I do this, then this will happen and this will happen and this will happen, which is for me, like that's the thinking that gets me into trouble, which is I'm playing God, and we quit playing God. And it says later on, you know, he recognizes that he has to put this in God's hands, put the results and do the right thing. And it's this stuff, you know, these esteemable actions, these amends, that just, this is the stuff, you know, that that mitigates these feelings, you know, that are the pathway right back to the food. So it's like, it's for me, I guess I just think of recovery as being a series of these, you know, it's this moment that's actually quite uncomfortable, this recognition that, oh, shoot, this is hard. And this is not the way I've been living my life, you know, in whatever it is, fill in the blank. But when I use this beautiful program with just, you know, as we hear like share after share with these, you know, incredible transformations in people's lives. And, you know, I feel it in my own too, you know, just the, it particularly, I would say right now that I call it my, the new frontier recovery is work, you know, and how these, you know, pausing, amending my behavior, going to God, going to fellows for guidance, just results in these miracles. But it takes that reflecting, taking a step back, going to God, and ultimately, you know, like moving forward from this justification, I'm playing God, to, you know, I'm going to do what I'm being instructed to do and what I'm being called to do, and I'm going to leave the results up to you, God. So I'm going to pass with that. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Bessie O. And I'm now going to take the names of people who would like to share on this paragraph. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So who would like to share with us?
Freya R.
Freya R.
Yes.
Mary Cat I.
Mary. What was
Mary
that?
Cat.
Mary. Mary Cat.
Yep.
Very good.
Mary Cat. Yep. Thanks.
Fran R.
Fran R. And I'll take one more name.
Natalie S.
Natalie S. Okay, very good. Freya R., please share with us, followed by Mary Cat.
Hi, thank you. Can you hear me all right? Yes?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay, thank you. Yeah. So I'm Freya R. in California, and I've been working and listening to Vision for You for about 6 years now, and have been working the steps, and you know, I've had a bunch of sponsors helping me. I've been so grateful for all the service. But my present sponsor, I got to the ninth step, and I could not make a humble, authentic amends to my husband or my sister, probably my two closest relationships. And I felt so justified in my resentments. I couldn't. So she's taken me back to the fourth step, and I've had to really work thoroughly in a new way, and she's really guided me carefully, and I've been working on it, and I had to save my sister for last because she hasn't spoken to me for a year. On May 31st, it'll be a year, and she told me on May 31st last year, I'm not going to speak to you for a year because of a whole situation that I could justify and explain completely, rationalize to you. I've done it with friends, which is part of what I've had to look at my harms. And, but I lied to her. That's the frank fact. I lied to her. I want to be even euphemistic about that right now, but I won't, because I've had to humble myself and look at my part. And so I've done all this work on my fourth step. I've saved her for last. And this morning, last night, I was like, okay, it's my sister tomorrow morning, and I need you, God, because I can't even think straight with my sister, because this goes back decades from, you know, when I was 2 years old and she was born. And so I spent about half an hour with God, connecting through music and just asking him. And then I just wrote, and I was able to do 3 out of the 8 resentments toward her and look at my part. And I feel so grateful for God's voice and love to help me get there. I really had to ground myself in his love because of my own inferiority, my own insecurity, which I've been saying about my sister for 50 some years. And, you know, I'm just grateful, but I had to really dig deep to even get myself where I could potentially make an amends if she'll receive it, and let it go, the outcome, right? So anyway, thanks for letting me share. I wasn't watching my time, but hopefully I'm good, and I really appreciate everything.
Thank you so much, Freya R. from California. Mary Cat I., please share with us, followed by Fran R.
Hi, Mrs. I'm Mary Pat from Ohio. Thank you for letting me share. Yes, for this, in this paragraph, for me, I just thought in my own selfishness and self-reliance, I had caused the harms. You know, I was alone responsible for that. And in my own self-reliance, I cannot make the amends. So I had to, you know, timing is everything, that's for sure. And I cannot delay. I could not delay with my amends. I had to go in with God on that, my higher power. He had to walk with me on those. One of the children was not ready for me to make an amend at the time that I wanted to make the amend. So I, you know, had prayed and asked God to please soften his heart. I knew it wasn't going to be easy for me to be able to do that, but I know that it has to be done. I've got to follow the instructions. I have to clear the wreckage of my past, or I cannot recover and be and not be the woman God would have me be. So on my own, I'll make a bunch of excuses to, you know, even sounding virtuous of why it's even, you know, it's even better that I don't make the amend, but better for the person that I don't, but I'm not in that anymore. My higher power requires that of me to continue on with the steps and to recover and with this program. So I guess with that, that's what I've got to say, that I cannot do this alone. I have to go in with my higher power, and whatever the outcome it is really, he is the director of all of that. And I just have to leave that in his hands and do what I'm supposed to be doing. And thank you for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Mary Pat from Ohio. Fran R., please share with us, followed by Natalie S.
I'm Fran R. from California. And I'm doing the fourth step. And by listening to the meeting today, it popped into my mind that I need to make amends to my two former stepchildren. I was married to their dad for 7 years. They were very young. I had a baby shortly after the marriage. And 7 years into the marriage, I left my husband. There was a lot of domestic violence, and I was taking care of myself. And from that moment on, because I was afraid of him, I never pursued a relationship with those two children. So just a line in the sand that I was their mother, then I wasn't. And I've had a lot of sadness over that. I have talked to each one of them since they've been adults, and they kind of brush it off. Hey, what else could you do? But I really feel by listening to others that I really want to and need to make formal amends. They're in their 50s, and I just felt like I abandoned them. So I will work on that and work through that in my fourth step. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Fran R. from California. Natalie S., please share with us.
Hi, thank you. This is Natalie S. From Arizona. And one of the things I'm learning to love about this program is how differently each of our higher powers or God or whatever we call them impact our lives to help us change. And for me, coming into program in December, I've noticed that my higher power, as I've worked through the steps, is like a real-time God, always offering me opportunities to demonstrate that I can do something different based on having made an amend and then making an ideal. So, for example, similar to a lot of other people, I had a lot of amends to make with my parents and my children. And so I made them, and then literally 2 weeks later, the two, my most difficult child and my mom, who I had a lot of learning to do from, and my dad came out from Indiana to Arizona, and I got to spend 4 months learning how to do that amend and live differently and live in program and work the steps. So for me, it's kind of this interesting trial by fire that I'm grateful for now, because it keeps me plugged into the herd, as they say, or in the middle of the herd, and plugged into all the tools. Well, I'm grateful for hearing everybody today, because now, after a year or so, I've been presented with this opportunity to go back to work, which I have not had. And all of a sudden, I'm becoming the director and the conductor, and what about this, and how do I move my stuff, and all that. And so thank you all for reminding me that all I have to do is do the next right thing, and then reach out to fellows and my sponsor and do the 10 steps or the fear inventories and all of it, and really try to live what I have identified as being my ideals as an employee. And so it feels like a second chance to me, but I also have to remember that I have to go back to the source of that power. And so that's what I felt like I needed to share with you, or was called to share with you today. So with that, I will pass. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Natalie S., for sharing with us. We have time for like a minute and a half share. Would someone like to share with us if you haven't shared in the last 3 days?
Barbara A.
Barbara A., go ahead.
Thank you. Thank you for the opportunity to share. Thank you for your service. And I was reading on page 80, and I had talked a few days ago in the earlier meetings, back on, I think it was the Sunday edition, about traveling to New Jersey and seeing my sister who had passed away and sitting and having some time to make amends with her, and how I didn't feel that that was the way it should be done. And I just wanted to correct and say that's the way God had it happen. Was I was able to sit with her, to make an amends, to be able to say out loud and to share with others that I was wrong about information I spread about her. I loved her, and in our relationship, she didn't trust me because I had spread information she asked me not to spread. And today, I'm so willing to sit in that and be aware of what my part was,
time,
and to ask her forgiveness. So thank you. Thank you for letting me share. I'm so grateful. Grateful for your service, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Barbara A. Very good, and thank you to everyone who shared. If you happen to be new, please stick around. We're going to be offering you a time to announce your name and numbers. And we're now going to close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Kara L. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Thank you, Don. This is Kara L., Recovered Compulsive Overeater. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past, and give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you. Until then.